Live from the Hanania Studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, welcome to Jaguars Monday, presented every Monday night live from the Hanania Studio. I'm Brian Sexton along with Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com. You all know Tony Baselli. Joe Fortunato is here as well. He wants to speak. Tony will not let him.
No, what? He's not allowed. After,
why?
After, well, you know, we had a Saturday night, you know, Brian, Jeff, and I do the radio broadcast, and it was pretty dang good, except for one thing. Our producer, preseason mode.
What's the matter with you?
I mean, it was, you know, as a fellow Italian,
right?
Pete, you should be disappointed because he wasn't at his best.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Why is that?
To talk to me like that after all I've done for you.
I'm trying to figure out what you've done for me.
You must, and it's all that he might do for you.
He must have went out and had some Italian food in New York.
He did.
Carmine's. Ate at Carmine's.
Yeah. You did. See?
Yes, I did.
I know him very well.
Yeah,
huh?
Absolutely.
All right.
How are we doing?
Good.
All right. Great.
You guys
for the show? Excited. A lot going on.
Me too.
A lot going on.
Good stuff.
Big news of the day, obviously, at his news conference early this morning. Head coach Gus Bradley named
Blaine Gabbert
is a starting
also
quarterback.
Also, as well, out for the rest of the preseason.
That was the interesting part about it. Is he's the guy, but he's not going to be ready to go. Until the start of the
season.
I
love it. Number one, we all thought Blaine Gabbert was going to be the guy. Pete thought the whole competition was a farce. I don't think that. I think Blaine had to prove, at least earn the right to have that job, which he did. We were critical how he played the first preseason game. Wasn't very good. He was outstanding in the second preseason game. And I like it because I think as an offensive player that you need to know who your guy is. That is the most important position on the field. You got to know who the guy in the huddle is going to be leading you, who you're going to go to war for. And I love that he named Blaine the starter, even if he's going to miss the next two preseason games.
I did think it was a farce. I thought, but not because it was a farce in camp. I just think it was a battle that had been kind of decided already throughout the process of the offseason. And that's something that fans have to get that into their head. It's not just what you see on the preseason field. It's not just what you see in games. It's what's been played out over the course.
Room.
Right. Over the course of since they've been here. So from that standpoint, I thought it was a farce. It was his job. He was going to be the starting quarterback. You walked in that locker room, the players knew it. The coaches knew it. They just didn't say it.
All right. So do you think, because neither one of them would say that they didn't think it was a competition, but deep down, do you believe that they thought that it was a real competition?
Well, I think Blaine has had the confidence that if he played well, he was going to be given the benefit of the doubt. But I think Blaine feels the pressure of the situation. This is year three, top draft pick, new staff, so he has a fresh start. This is an opportunity that he needs to take advantage of because literally Gus and Jed, Dave Caldwell, they pretty much wiped the slate clean from the last 2 years and said, hey, listen, we are going to judge you based on what we see. And so here's Blaine coming off two terrible, tough years, terrible for a lot of different reasons, not just how he played, because he played well at times last year. And you're a young guy, and I got to believe in the back of his mind he's thinking, this is my opportunity to grab this job and become the franchise quarterback. I think he believes he is.
You know what I think, though, more than anything about the way he looked in that game, was they let him. They allowed him to look good. Over the 2 years he's been here, he's other than games where he's been behind and he had to throw the football, he's never been able to dictate tempo.
Well, all right.
And don't you think he's a tempo
right,
quarterback?
And that was the question I have for you is, do you believe then that means that he's not a pocket passer with all this rollout and all?
I think he can do both.
I do too.
Okay. He's a great athlete.
Because they keep talking about how much they're going to move the pocket, and I'm wondering if that means they try to force him into.
No. That's Jed's offense, and he's influenced.
The last two coaches, I meant.
He's influenced by Mike Shanahan, and go back. Forget Mike Shanahan now. Think about Mike Shanahan with the Denver Broncos with John Elway. They moved the pocket all the time with John Elway. Now he was primarily a dropback passer. But they ran nakeds, they ran the half boot, the waggle, and everything else. And there's a lot of influence from Shanahan on Jed Fish. And I thought Jed Fish called an outstanding game, and I love his offense. I loved it, what we've seen on the field so far. Obvious, very simple week one. We talked about that. Throw that out. I like how they approached it. I think they're keeping things very simple in the stance of this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to ask Blaine to do. This is what we're going to ask the guys to do. Allow them to play fast. and, as Gus says, try to execute at a high level.
See, like today, I just happened to be listening to some talk in town, and I hear fans saying, well, they made it easy for him, made him make easy throws so they could he could win the job.
That's good what
job.
Good coaches do.
But that's right. You make him look comfortable in a situation and allow him to flourish in that situation.
Well, that's right, because what we've heard is that Gus and Dave and the coordinators are going to focus on what this team does, not what they can't do, right? Focus on the things they do best. In saying that, rolling out, does that mean that they're not going to ask him to stand back in the pocket?
No, they did both. Yeah. I watched the tape today. They did.
Right.
Listen, Jed's offense is going to move the pocket. I mean, that's what they do. But they're going to drop back. I mean, in a half, I mean, it was probably 50-50. And talking to Jed, they're going to do what the defense allows them and allows them to do. And they're going to change up the look so the rushers can't just go to one spot. And they feel like Blaine's athletic ability, his strong arm, his accuracy, that's good for him. I mean, I think they're going
to
do everything.
Now, the best throw of the night was to Sanders. And people criticize this. Well, it was a free play. I mean, are you kidding me? The guy stood in there, he looked left, came back right, made a throw.
That wasn't the best play.
I thought it was the best play.
The best play was, and I can't remember who he threw the ball to, it was, I believe it was the first drive. They blitzed four off the side. Blaine immediately recognized the blitz. There was two free rushers coming. He knew right where to go with the ball. The blitz replaced and sat there with two guys coming right in his face and threw a strike for a first down. That's not very hard. It's very difficult to recognize what they're doing, know where the pressure's coming from, know where your guy is, and deliver it.
And stand there.
And stand there.
And stand
there. It was outstanding.
Yeah, that was a good play. But what I want to see from him, and I know he has it in him, I do, I believe he does, is to be the ability to go there and come there and throw a strike. And I thought he did that to Ace Sanders, and it was a free play.
Who cares?
Right, but it was a heck of a throw.
And you talk about, you know, doing, Gus talks about, Jed says the same thing when you talk to him, of setting up to the strengths of this team and the personnel. That's what good coaches do. Let's go back to the last 2 years of rookie quarterbacks, Cam Newton. What did they do in Carolina when he had all that success?
They ran a very similar version
read
of what they did.
Option, rolled him out, everything.
They made him comfortable on plays he was comfortable with. What did they do with RG3 last year?
Exactly. They had to do it. They ran it that way.
And they said, we're going to put him in a situation that he's comfortable. I know this for a fact that, I don't know every team, but I remember back when Mark was a quarterback here on Fridays and Saturdays, or I think it was Saturdays, they would sit down and say, Mark, tell us what you're most comfortable with. Tell us what you like. That's what coaches do. They're not going to try to run stuff that the quarterback's not comfortable with or guys can't do outside, or if an offensive line struggles, you know, doing things, they're not going to ask them to do that. You want to know why coaches get fired? Because they have their minds made up. This is how I do it, and this is what we're going to do, and I don't care what personnel we have.
You know, round stuff into a square into a round circle. Right. I mean, it's all that. But here's the thing. Most impressive thing that I saw the other night, seriously. Blaine was very good. I thought he was very good reading the coverage, getting the ball out, accuracy. The best part of it, though, was it wasn't run, pass. That has been what, as to me, has held Blaine Gabbert back as much as anything. And they can talk all they want over the last couple of years about, well, we tried to do this, we tried to do that. Look, the bottom line is, when Jack was here, we're going to be the biggest, baddest team, and we're going to run the football with Maurice Jones-Drew. Well, okay, fine. Next year, Mike Mularkey, the reason that he didn't succeed in Atlanta was because he didn't allow his quarterback to become a quarterback. He rolled him out, he bootlegged him, everything else. The bottom line is, you have to dictate tempo. First and second down throws, not just run, everybody, you know, nine in the box, and then you try and throw in third down. You can't succeed that way.
All right, so here's the question now. Will he be ready to go on opening day? In case anyone missed it, they called it a small fracture where there was no gap that was visible. And
yeah, they had to have it because the x-rays came back negative, and then they did an MRI, and that's where they saw, I think.
It's kind of like when you have a Liz Frank fracture. If you have x-rays, you don't see it on there, but you do an MRI, and you see it on there.
Well, and before you guys tell me what you think, here's Blaine in the locker room this morning.
The thumb's doing great. Just all preventative stuff, and the biggest thing right now is just get the swelling down and get healthy, get my grip strength back. And, I mean, it's not like I'm in a wheelchair or anything, so I can still do pretty much three quarters of practice, just not the team period. So I can go through all the footwork, do some handoffs and whatnot, but I get a lot of mental reps during those team periods. But conditioning-wise, I'll be good to go.
And I think he would be pretty accurate on that, because I know you, your grip and all that, but if he can do three quarters of practice, he's going to be able to go in 2 weeks. The other thing about him is, first year, played with an injury. People didn't know about
he's
it.
He's a tough
with
guy.
He played with an injury. Last year, he had the
two injuries.
Shoulder, and he had the other injury, the elbow or whatever it was. And they remember, they quarterback sneaked him in Green Bay with a bad shoulder. I mean, just the things that they did a year ago, he's a tough kid. I think he'll be there on opening day. You know, and everybody say, well, what if Henny plays great the next 2 weeks? Who cares? The competition's over. It's done. It's finished.
Well, and to that, Gus was asked the question, what if Henny comes out? Will you have any remorse about having named your quarterback right now? And he spoke about last year in Seattle, where they had traded for Matt Flynn, and they brought in the rookie Russell Wilson, and through the course of training camp in the preseason, a conviction grew about what Russell Wilson could be. So their conviction was, he will be X, Y, or Z. We will ride with him through the rough spots early in the season. And what Gus said today is, their conviction about Gabbert mirrors the conviction that Seattle had last year about Russell Wilson. They're committed to him and committed to him working the process.
And talking to Gus, and if you know, if you've gotten to know him at all, he has a belief of how things need to be done, how he wants to build this team, how they want to practice, how he wants to coach, the message he wants to send, and it's a very strong conviction, and that is not going to change. And if he believes that Blaine Gabbert gives them the best chance to win, I don't care if Chad Henne comes out and throws for 500 yards and five touchdowns in the next two games. I hope he does. It'd be great. I mean, Chad's a very good backup on this team. But Blaine Gabbert is going to be the quarterback, if he's healthy, which we all believe he is, and I have no reason to think he's not, come Kansas City.
By the way, I think it was a calculated move on his part. It was smart. Because if you name him, that eliminates any chance of Henny going out and having a good game and opening up what people perceive as a quarterback competition. I think he did that purposely today to get it all out and get it done.
I think he was going to do it no matter what, though.
Right, but it's
smart. It's very
now
smart.
That he has the thumb injury, and it opens up the door that Henny could play this week, most of the snaps, and you don't see Blaine, I think it's smart to name him a starter.
All right, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. When we come back on Jaguars Monday with Pete and Tony, we'll talk about Jaguars offense and where it's headed with Gabbert at the helm, and hear from Maurice Jones-Drew and Cecil Shorts. All that to come here on Jaguars Radio.
I think what they're asking Blaine to do is something that he's done in college, which is get the ball out quick. Go to your first, second read, or check it down, and that's going to help us all play fast.
That's Maurice Jones-Drew in the locker room earlier today. Pete, to your point, I mean, play fast, play fast, play fast. And you've got some weapons. When you look at where this offense is headed, they had success with Blaine in the first half the other night. They had no Cecil Shorts. They had no Mercedes Lewis, and they were playing without Luke Jokel. So where do you see this offense going if you've got Shorts, Jokel, Lewis out there with Blackman, which they will have in week 5, and a healthy Maurice Jones-Drew, Denard Robinson, Ace Sanders don't hurt.
Yeah, I think they have a chance to be pretty good. Here's what I don't want to see. I don't want to see opening day what we saw Fish do in the regular season, that he changes on opening day. Because I see coaches all over the league. They coach differently. When it comes time to actually play a game that counts, they change. Because I don't think he should change. I think he's found Blaine's niche. Allow him to be that guy. And I don't think – Jed's a smart man.
He's not going to change.
No.
I mean, they're going to run up tempo. They're going to hurry it up. They're going to change the pace of the game. They're going to move the pocket. They're going to play action. They're going to run. They're going to take their shots down the field. I mean, listen.
What happens if they get – it won't happen this year. But what happens in a year or two if they get good? Then does he change? You know what I mean?
No, I don't think so.
You know?
No, I mean,
you know, this is all gravy kind of this year.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, listen, Jed's one of the young guys, and so is Gus for that matter. I mean, at least the mentality that I get from Jed, I mean, he's very smart. He's very confident. I think he has an idea of what he wants this offense to be, and I don't think he's going to – I don't think he's going to revert to getting super conservative or scared to be who he is as a coordinator and what the strengths of this team are.
Well, this year you won't, because there's no real pressure on them this year. This staff has no real pressure on it this year. Everybody,
Okay, but I'll say this. Look at, we talk about Atlanta. Dirk Cutter didn't. I mean, all the pressure in the world. Mike Smith, the head coach. I mean, you talk about pressure on a team that was good last year. Tons of pressure. They have to win the playoffs. They have to move on. They were who they are.
Right.
I think if you look at every Tom Coughlin in New York, write a list down. Bill Belichick in New England. I mean, the good coaches don't. They are who
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton.
Perfect example.
And so, listen, we always say, because we like Gus and we like Jed, we like all these guys and we're rooting for them, and I don't think they will do that. I get no sense that's in their makeup or mentality. Now, the proof will be in the pudding. We'll judge 3 or 4 years down the road. But, no, I there's nothing in me that thinks that'll happen.
Yeah, I don't think it will either. That's just always a concern of mine because we got to admit, this is a gravy year for this staff
it's
and this
team. It's a scholarship
team.
Year, absolutely. Right. They can come in and do what they need to do.
So you can take chances. You can be more aggressive. You can do things you wouldn't normally do if you have a good, really good football team. So if they do get good, and I think they're building something here the right way, you build through the draft. If they do get good, will he change?
No.
Will the head coach change?
I say no.
I don't think so either.
The players hope he does.
Well, I'll say this. Gus came from Seattle. Has Pete Carroll changed at all?
No.
No. I mean, he is who he is, no matter what people say, positive or negative about him. I think Gus is the same way.
The players certainly don't want him to change because they all like the system that they've got. I mean, you could just see the look in Cecil Short's eyes today. Here's what he had to say when I just asked him, you know, look what they did without you. What can they do when you're back in the lineup?
I'm very confident that we can make a lot of plays down the field, that we can we'll be a very high-tempo offense. And I think we can shock a lot of people once we get this offense at full strength and really get the tempo and the concepts really down. I think we can be a sight to see.
They really like it.
Well, and I think Cecil's important to this offense.
Yeah.
I mean, number one, he's their best receiver. And he, if anything is lacking right now out there, is they don't have that one guy.
Even with him, they don't have that.
Yeah, but
he's good.
He can win deep, though.
But that I think that's the next step for that.
But I still think Cecil's a guy who can win deep.
I agree, but they still don't have that guy who can, you know, I'm not going to say Julio Jones, but that kind of guy who scares you vertically on every play. That's the next step. They're going to find one of those guys eventually, too. You can't fix it all
at
once.
I'm saying for this year.
For this year, he's the guy that's got to do it.
Because he can. I mean, he started last year. I mean, he had one of the highest yards per catch. Maybe
17.8 led the AFC.
I mean, he wins down the field.
Which is amazing because he's not a burner.
No, but okay, if you'd have time, going back to the Jaguar, Jimmy Smith, if you'd have clocked him in the grass.
Jimmy ran pretty – yes, he
was
did.
Not a – he was not – you didn't time in the 40 and go, oh, my goodness.
I think when he came out, he ran under 4.4, Tony.
I'm just telling you, he played faster.
Yes. So did Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice is a perfect
example.
That's
my whole point.
Yeah.
I think Cecil – I'm not comparing Cecil.
Remember, he pulled away on that 80-yard touchdown run in Indy last year.
That's my point. I'm saying Cecil is a guy – and I talked to Jerry Sullivan about this in general of players that he's coached. And he basically said, I don't care what the clock says. Let's watch a guy play because there's certain guys who run 4.4, 4.5 that play like they're 4.3. And there's certain guys that run 4.3 and play like they're 4.7.
I'll give you one. Remember Michael Jenkins? He was just cut this week. Came out of Ohio State, ran under 4.4. Everybody thought, oh, my gosh, look at this big. He never played
at 4.8.
Yeah, never played to that speed. You're right. But they still eventually will need to get a, you know, take the top off a guy.
Now, for all the enthusiasm in the locker room about the offense and what they were able to do, Maurice did try to tamp down a little bit.
We had two great practices leading up to that game. And now the thing is to come back this week and have a full week of great practices leading up to the Eagles and see how we respond that way.
I mean, his whole point was, we got it done on the practice field. He's trying to make it to a lot of guys.
There's always – every team goes through this. How do you respond to adversity? How do you respond after you play poorly and the coach is on you? And then how do you handle success? A lot of times for young teams, handling success is harder than handling adversity.
And it's funny you say success after a 37-13 loss.
I'm looking at the first half.
No,
I mean, listen, the second half evaluation, those are nice things and important things you have to look at, but let's just throw that out for this conversation. You left after the first half. Listen, there's mistakes on defense that you need to clean up. There's mistakes in every preseason game, every game. But you left that game feeling positive. And now, and all the – it's not so much in the building because coaches are always balanced. They'll address issues and whether you win or lose. But the noise on talk radio and fans is like, okay, great, this is positive. And I guarantee they're hearing about, hey, that was good and everything else. How do you handle that? Can you come back the next day? The next week, and that's what Mojo's talking about, and string together success after success.
I still think in this town, that game gives some people the idea that maybe Blaine could be the starter for this year and do some things. But nobody at all, or few people, think he's going to be around here next year. And to me,
well, that's a mistake.
And that's what I was going to say. To me, that's a mistake, because if he goes out and say this team goes 6-10, but he throws, or 7-9, he throws 3,500 yards, 27 touchdown passes, and 13 interceptions, he will be the starting quarterback.
Which he should
be.
I mean, right. If he takes, listen, what you're looking for in a guy like Blaine is you're looking for progress. You're looking for him to take the next step in improving, so he shows you something that you can build around.
All right. Our broadcast is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Time for news here at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to Jaguars Monday, live from the Hanania studio inside Everbank Field, and you're listening to Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the Hanania studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, a quick injury update brought to you by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Cecil Shorts, Russell Allen will both be back on the practice field this week. No Luke Jokel, though. He will not, at this point in time, be out there. Hip, still an issue. And I know we talked on Saturday night in New York. You thought you'd be surprised if he didn't get back out this week. But obviously, they're being careful with him.
Well, I think it's smart. I mean, listen, he's your starting right tackle. Outstanding player. And the last thing you want is a soft tissue injury to linger. I still think he'll play this week, you know. I have no knowledge of that, but my guess is talking to him and his body language and kind of reading tea leaves around, I think he plays.
Well, Gus was asked about the rookie not getting the reps. He goes, hey, it's a rookie. You want him to get all the reps, but we're pretty confident he can get ready for Kansas City.
Yeah, and look, be cautious. There's no reason to play him if he's not all the way there.
I'll just say this. I didn't play one preseason game my rookie year.
Yeah, you're ready to
go. I remember that whole thing.
Yeah, first
Tony Pizzelli's out for the year.
Yeah, my first game was against Sean Jones in Green Bay, and
I remember
it was
Monday morning.
Then they flew you back on Weaver's jet, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
you got the big treatment. Then somebody else got hurt and they had to fly commercial.
Why do we have to bring that up? I mean, really?
Hey, our phone number. Our phone
is
number
necessary, Pete, to bring up.
Of course it is.
I don't know why I give you the phone number. You got no chance of weighing in here. But if you do want to try, 355-NFL1.
Give us a shout.
800-355-6351. If you've got thoughts on it. So we're talking about the offense and where it can go. A couple of thoughts from you guys. Justin Blackmon.
I was a big critic of his last year. Even though he did some good things, I thought he was too heavy. I thought he wasn't sudden enough. He wasn't sudden enough. He looked like a plotter. Different guy. And the coaches all say he's a different guy. He's involved, he's active, and he looks quicker. To me, that's the whole thing about getting in out of your breaks, he's never going to be a burner, ever.
No, but neither is Anquan Boldin.
No, but boy, those hands are good, and he knows how to position himself. I think he looks like a different guy.
Well, I'll say this, because I agree with everything Pete said. Something very telling to me was on Saturday night, we're playing, he's out, second half. You know, what do most starters do? Sit at the end of the bench, kind of sit there and talk and carry on. Big play happens on the special teams. I can't remember who made it. And Justin Blackmon ran from the other end of the bench onto the field and gave high fives and chest bumps and everything else to the special teams coming off the field. To me, that tells me a guy is involved. He's energized. If you watched him in practice when he was still hurt, every rep he's sitting there listening, talking to players, slapping high fives. He is a different guy. Body-wise, mentality-wise, I mean, I think he has a chance to be a really good player here for a long time.
Yeah, and, you know, that kind of mentality is the Seahawks mentality. And Gus has kind of carried that over from Pete, which is you almost push the envelope, and you don't mind if they push it. Just don't let them go too far. And you were there in Atlanta when Seattle played the playoff game. And I thought they kind of pushed it too far that day. We talked about it. Remember after the game, they kind of were a little too caught up in all that stuff. And
yeah, but here's the thing, Pete, and I'm not disagreeing.
You even agreed with me that day. I remember we had a conversation
that
day.
But I'm saying, I think we talked before the game about that. But if you look at that game when they got down big, I think that same swagger and that same positive attitude, like that we're never out of it, and no matter what happens, we're going to keep doing what we do, got him right back in the game and very easily could have won.
Oh, I like it. I'm a big believer in that. As critical as I am of your old teams, I think your old teams were fantastic. I thought at times your team
too tight
didn't have that.
Right.
And I go back. I go back. You weren't playing in the game, but I go back to the '99 championship game. I remember you guys and you weren't playing, so they were on one side of the field. We were down. That was back in the day. We were allowed to go on the field before the games. They were out on the field over there, and they're all robotic, and Coughlin's got them all. You can see they're tight. And then you got Josh Evans. Now, granted, he was amped up in amphetamines or whatever, but he's banging his chest, yelling at him,
right.
And he's yelling across the field at him, and the Jaguars players were just standing there and not saying anything because that's the way Tom Coughlin wanted his team to play. And I get that. I understand that. But I think at some point you got to let him go a little bit. This team goes.
Oh, yeah. And I think you're going to see when the success comes, even more.
Denard Robinson looked like a running back the other night?
Yeah. I said it on the broadcast, and we talked about it. I've watched him now all of training camp, his OTAs, and the progression he has made. You know, we call him the offensive weapon. And call him whatever you want. He looks like a running back right now to me. And that is, I'm saying that as a compliment. He gets in the eye, and he does things with cuts and the way he sees the field and sees the blocks, and then he gives you that burst outside. I think he looked outstanding, and I know Pete hates the Wildcat, and supposedly it's dead. I did watch somehow the dead Wildcat, the Jets ran it a number of times with some success. I think that is a real option for this team with Denard Robinson because he can throw it. So now you have a guy back there who can run it, sees the field well as a runner, but also as a threat to throw the ball. So I think that's going to be a package we'll see this year.
Well, this team should use that kind of package. If the quarterback –
I thought it was dead.
Well, it should be dead, but if you know what it is? It's a definition of a team that doesn't have a quarterback is what it is. So I don't know how much they'll use it if this kid can play. If he can play, why would you use it? If the quarterback can play, why would you use it?
Because it gives you a change of pace. It puts pressure on the defense. It forces them
Tony,
during the week to prepare for
if the quarterback plays real quarterback, you don't need that kind of
You're
garbage.
Wrong.
No, you don't.
You're wrong. Because what it does is even if you run it 3 to 5 times a game, let's say you get 65, 70
like Green
plays.
Bay does or New Orleans or New England or Denver. Or
all I know is it'll give you put a lot of pressure on that defense because it gives you one more thing to prepare for during the week.
I was talking to a bunch of coaches this week about the read option and what they did. You remember Green Bay was the one team that had the problems with it. Dom had a bad day that night against them. And I'm telling you, everybody's gone into the lab, and they're going to – the one thing that you're gonna, that's going to happen, they're going to start hitting that quarterback.
Oh, yeah,
so,
we'll see.
Yeah. We had that debate last week, and you lost. You were the loser.
There's another debate.
1-0.
At about 20 after 7 in our second hour. One more guy on the offense, and then I want your thoughts on where you see a hole, where they've got to really work, and that is A. Sanders caught the 35-yard pass right out of the gate.
I love that kid's game, and I like it because it hasn't been here ever. That kind of player has never been here. And we'll say, well, Keenan did a lot of work in the slot.
But didn't have the speed.
Didn't have that speed, and he wasn't that little – I mean, Keenan was shifty. He was smart. He knew how to run routes. This kid's got that little speed and wiggle and everything else. That kind of player has never been here. If you guys in your heyday had that kind of player to compliment Keenan and Jimmy, oh, my gosh. And so I think he's a heck of a football player.
Well, I'll say him and Denard give you something that we have not had for a long time, maybe ever, like Pete says. Two guys that can do a lot of different things from the slot or out of the backfield, reverses, kick returns, punt returns, that give you that juice of not just straight line speed, but make you miss speed.
By the way, I was just in St. Louis. Tavon Austin was picked in the first round, and there are some whispers there that, although Jeff Fisher says he's been everything they expected and more, some other people are saying maybe he was drafted too high.
What did he look like compared to Ace?
It's hard to say. He got jammed up a couple times. I mean, that's going to be a problem for those guys. And you could see the Packers were trying to take him, do some things to him, whereas Ace is kind of the compliment guy. So it's different. Everybody knows who Tavon Austin is. I still think he's going to be good. But, again, Ace is probably right now ahead of him.
All right, so we've been talking for the last half hour, 45 minutes about the quarterback, about the offensive coordinator, about things that are going well, about guys to be excited about, but where's the biggest hole as you look forward and outside of the quarterback evolving? What are you worried about based on what you saw on tape the other night?
Well, not a lot of depth. And if you look at the offensive line, there's I don't know if there's any depth at this point.
That's everywhere, though, Tony.
It is everywhere, but, I mean, it's an issue. And then after that, it's the consistency. I mean, it was great. Listen, first half of that game was a lot of fun to watch. They executed, but it's consistency of being able to do it with a young team, play in and play out, quarter in, quarter out, game in, game out. And that's something we still have to see. I mean, it's a young team that doesn't have a lot of depth with a quarterback that is evolving. And so, I mean, those are issues you have to worry about. You have a running back that I think is one of the best in the NFL coming off of Liz Frank. So that's something we got to continue to monitor and watch. you know, how many his when he gets the heavy load of carry. So those are still concerns that you want to see.
Yeah, and I think depth more than anything, but not just offensive line depth. I mean depth across the offensive board. Because if Maurice, you know, gets hurt, God forbid, for this team, then who plays? And, you know, tight end, Mercedes, well, now, the kids look pretty good.
Well, the biggest hole, if you're saying as far as one position, is either where's the move tight end?
Right. He's going to be a kid, probably.
I mean,
it has to be.
Right now, it's Reisner.
Right, it has to be.
That's my point. Right. So very untested, unproven.
But I mean, I don't mind that.
I don't mind it either. But
I don't mind
it.
Not for this team this year.
No, that's what you want. You want somebody that's going to. If he is any good in 3 years, you'll know. So I don't mind that. But depth all over the offense, I think, in a lot of situations.
All right, more to come when we return to the Hanania Studio with more Jaguars Monday. We'll talk about the defense. Try and figure out what happened there. On Saturday night in New York, you're listening to Jaguars Radio. So go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today. They're a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Sexton, Prisco, Baselli, you. If you care to join us, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. All right, the defense, which played pretty well against the Dolphins early on, struggled. Almost no pass rush whatsoever. Now, in fairness, they didn't do much other than rush four.
Yeah, but you have to win, and they didn't win. I mean, let's be fair. We talked on against the Miami Dolphins, how it's in Derek Marks, and we won 1-1 battles. We got pressure on the quarterback. There was no pressure, one sack on Mincy. It was a – They forced Sanchez to hold the ball a little bit, and he beat the tight end and fullback, which nice job by Mincy. But watching the tape, we didn't win any one-on-one battles, really. And if you're going to rush four, which we're going to do in the preseason, obviously they'll dial up blitzes and stuff more in the regular season, like all teams do, except for Rex Ryan. He blitzes every play, even in the preseason. You got to win, and we didn't. That was a concern, or it wasn't very good. I don't know if it's a concern. And then – we were not very good at all between the tackles of stopping the run. I think at the end of the first half, Bilal Powell had 9.1 yards per carry. And they gashed us pretty good.
Yeah, he had a 37-yard run in the second quarter.
And
you know, you got to start saying they because you're not on a team anymore.
What'd I say?
We.
Okay, they. sorry.
You're old like me now. Don't forget that.
No, I'm not old like you, Pete.
You're getting there.
Not even close.
Well, you know what? I hope you never catch me.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Had to think about that one for a minute.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
I was going to say something, but I don't want to wish the death on anybody.
No.
But, you know, you had Reynolds, a rookie, moving from Mike in the middle of the week or during the week to Sam. He got to start at Sam. And, you could see that he was lost at times a little bit, and some of the run fits weren't there. So that's part of the reason you gash. And, listen, the Jets did a pretty good job doubling inside. They doubled Sendarek Marks a number of times, and which I, Sendarek in today's NFL three technique, he's not undersized, but he's a pass rusher. He's an up the field, one gap type of player, and they doubled him a little bit and got some stuff going and got up to the linebackers, and they had some nice creases. And those are all things that are very easily fixed, gap control. They'll clean it up, and the positive is in the red zone, they were outstanding. They were really good. And twice inside the five, the Jets had first and goal, got 0 points out.
Sanchez helped them.
Yeah, the pick in the end zone to Trufant.
And then terrible clock management at the end by them. And so those were the positives. But, listen, they got to be better against the run. And they got to win one-on-one. I mean, if you are one-on-one, you got to win at times. And we did not win much in the past.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is, you talk about gap control and playing responsibilities. People don't realize how important that is for a defense.
Oh, it's critical. I mean, if you have...
Even if you're winning and you don't play your gap control, you've lost.
You can have, of the front seven, six guys doing exactly what they are, and if the play's at you and you're the, the Mike or the Sam or the Will linebacker or any position, you're at a gap, there's going to be a void, and a good running back's going to find it.
Right.
And that's
heroes.
What happened.
Heroes. Guys trying to be heroes at times.
You got to play your responsibility.
You play your responsibility. And people don't realize it's not just a matter of getting beat. You have to play your responsibility. And again, they're not game planning
No.
But still, you have to play your responsibility.
And then, on the back half, listen, everyone critical of Cyprian.
Killing the kid. Okay, it was the first time out. Come on.
No, listen, I'm not going to kill him. It wasn't very good to start. I mean, the penalty was over-aggressive.
I don't mind an over-aggressive penalty.
Well, in the first one, he just was hand-checking him all the way down the field and got called. Now, Cromartie hand-checked Blackman all the way down the field, didn't get called. So, I mean, sometimes those are judgment calls. Way early on the pass interference, easy call.
Yeah.
And then he was in man coverage on Cumberland and got caught looking in the backfield, got his feet tangled up and fell down.
Here's my question for you.
But he's a – I mean, listen.
Is he a box safety or can he cover?
He runs pretty well.
I know, but like I'll give you an example. LeRon Landry runs very well time-wise, but to me, he's still a box safety.
I think, these guys have watched more than I am, but from what I've seen, OTAs, obviously we haven't seen a lot in camp, I think you can be comfortable – playing a man on a tight end.
I think so, too.
I mean, I don't think you want him outside working against the number one receiver.
The Rams have a rookie safety in McDonald who's starting, and I think this kid's better than him. But just to look at him, he looks like a box safety to me, and that's a problem if you have box safeties nowadays. And people say, well, why do you say that? And I say, well, okay, he's going to be good in the run game. But this league is so spread out
now.
They're
going to spread people out.
They're going to find you. If you can't cover, if you're the safety who cannot cover, they will find you, and they will attack you. And at some point, you're going to have to be able to cover. So the question
now, the one
to me
thing
is
you're,
Kenny.
Yeah, but here's Bernard Pollard.
Can't.
They won a Super Bowl with him, Pete, against Atlanta Falcons, who spread everyone out, and they were pretty effective.
No, against the 49ers.
I mean, because it's 49ers.
Yeah, well, he can win against
Tony.
You can't win with a box safety now. Now, they won last year with a box safety, so you're right and I'm wrong. But he's,
say that again.
You're right and I'm wrong for Thank once you. In my life. No, because I just don't think in the long-term success of a franchise now, you can't have a box safety.
Well, I won't go that far. I mean, listen, I agree. You have to be able to cover, but you can do a lot of things on defense. I mean, look at Cam Chancellor in Seattle.
I think he's going to get exposed a little bit this year.
They're pretty dang good last year.
Well, they also have two bump-and-run press-man corners that help you cover
good.
That guy up. So he
Cam
can
Chancellor
play that
looks
way.
Looks like a linebacker half time out there.
How many teams out there have those two corners?
I just named two of the best in the NFL, Seattle.
No. How many teams have those kind of corners?
Okay. The Ravens didn't.
They didn't.
Well, Bernard Pollard won the Super Bowl with the box safety. So your whole box safety theory is out the window.
And he wasn't very good last year, by the way.
They won the Super
Bowl. And the people in Jacksonville should be happy he's in Tennessee this year, by the way. He's not very good.
All
box
right.
safeties. I'll give you another one. Tampa signed Deshaun Goldson. He's supposedly a free safety. Well, now they have Deshaun Goldson and Mark Barron. They have two. To me, they have two strong safeties. I'd rather have two free safeties. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Before we break here for news at the top of the hour and start looking at the league in general, one guy who I don't think I called his name at all is a guy they're counting on is Andre Branch. You saw the tape.
Well, I haven't seen Andre win.
You haven't seen Andre Branch in almost 2 years now. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying.
I'll say it. You haven't seen Andre Branch in almost 2 years.
Didn't see him do anything. Haven't seen him do anything.
What do you want me to say?
I mean, you would agree with me.
I
have not seen Andre Branch in 2 years.
I have not seen him winning outside. He had a decent inside rush and maybe got on a game and close.
He looks the part. That's the thing.
Well, he's got to play with better knee bend. I mean, he's not bending well, I don't think. I mean, and to be a good pass rusher, you got to be able to bend the corner and get low and play with leverage.
This should be his time. This team, this style, the Leo, the whole deal.
He raved about the defense.
It should be
all
him.
Spring
it
and summer
should be
long.
His time. What do you have, eight snaps?
Seven or eight, yeah, not a lot.
That's a message. That's message right there.
So
that's a message.
Here's the question. Can you teach someone to play with knee bend, or is that a natural phenomenon?
Well, there are natural knee benders. I mean, I'll go to my side of the ball in the offensive line. I mean, you don't want to – if you're a waist bender, you don't get drafted very high.
It's true.
You got to be able to bend your knees. You got to be able to play with leverage. That's why Luke Jokel is going to be a very, very good player. In the run and pass, because he can bend his knees, he plays with good leverage. He drops his hips. So, listen, Andre Branch has got to, you got to see it on the field. I mean, he looks.
Somebody
great.
Light the pilot light, okay? Just light it. Get him going.
Real quick, two more games in 9 days, and then we'll see what this roster becomes. We'll take a break. News is next. Then we return for hour number two with a focus on the National Football League. Join us at 355 NFL1 here on Jaguars Radio.
Live from the Hanania studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Hey, Pete, quick question for you. Why when I go to CBS Sports, you're not on the first page? I got all these other great writers they have here, and you're not on here.
I think if you're looking at that, let me see.
Is Greg Doyle and Tony Barnhart bigger people than you, I guess?
No. It's just a matter of when your story comes in. It's called rotation.
Oh. I got to go real deep in the website to find
it. He's learning the media side of things.
He really is.
I
got
to go really deep.
Except he didn't even know what the name of the site was.
I did, too. I was just making sure. Yeah.
No, you didn't.
All right, reset.
He can't find it. He's looking for my game predictions because he wants to tear me to shreds.
Welcome to hour number two, Jaguars Monday. Our phone number, 800-355-6351, 355-NFL1. You can talk about Gabbard if you'd like. Name the starting quarterback today. Also, it was said that he will not be available until the preseason ends. They expect that he'll be ready to go when the Jaguars play the Chiefs on opening day. And just to reset, you thought that's doable.
Where's all my old callers from my old show? You used to call and yell at me and scream at me and just kill me and get angry and I'd tell them they're crazy and nuts.
Some of these lines lining up right now.
Where the heck are they? I remember every afternoon
Have you mellowed?
No. Heck no.
All right.
Have you seen me on Twitter? Have I changed?
No. By the way, you are one of the funniest people on Twitter. I see some of the stuff that you tweet and I just laugh out loud.
I make myself laugh sometimes.
Oh, my God. I was, in fact, during the broadcast on Saturday night from New York, at one point I almost spit up, and Lagerman looked at me, and I pointed to your tweet, and he just nodded.
Which one was it?
I forget which one it was now. It was in the second half, and things were starting to kind of get away from us. It was kind of getting to that point in the preseason, and I just about lost it live on the air. I have to remember to tip my microphone up when I'm reading your tweets so I don't let it go. All right, so a couple of thoughts from around the National Football League. The big story today is Von Miller. Facing a 6-game suspension, and that would mean that he wouldn't play against the Jaguars in October. So what's the story with the 6-game suspension? You know about 4, and you know about the whole season. You don't hear about 6.
This is an 8-game suspension reduced to 6. That's what it is.
Okay, so the people in his corner who were trying to get it reduced to 4 are just trying to get it reduced again.
Right. So he's a 6-game suspension, and it's bad. It's a bad, bad situation because he's in the program now where he gets tested 10 times a month, and if he fails one, banished.
Bye-bye for a year.
Right. So this is a bad situation. And, he obviously has some kind of issues. You know, when you have issues and you get caught, and then you get caught again, you have major issues. So this is concerning, and obviously 18.5 sacks and a great pass rusher, and you're the Denver Broncos, and you're counting on that guy, and Jack Del Rio now is going to have to manufacture pass rush, and he, you know,
how you gonna do that?
I tell you what,
Champ
went back.
Bailey, Derek Wolf, you got
that's
some injuries
the,
on
that's
that side.
That's the biggest problem right there. Is last year I went back and watched some of his stuff this week to see what he did, and I went back and Jack wasn't there when Von Miller's missed one game, okay, in his career where he didn't play. Christian Ponder threw for 389 against him that day. So Denver and Jack wasn't there then, but then I went back and I watched some stuff, and I got a story coming out today on that, and I got some pictures about it. What Jack can do to kind of cover up for not having him, but what that does, it means you have to have Champ in the back end. If Champ's not there and you can't play all those man coverages and stuff, then you have some big problems. Jack got exotic last year. He had guys standing up, no defenses fronts with no people with their hand down, and he got a little creative. He's going to have to get really creative.
It's
now.
Amazing how good you look when you have really good players.
True. But it's nice to have man coverage in the back end.
Well, it helps a lot.
You can do so many different things. I think with Champ, if it was just Von Miller not being there and you still had Champ and he's healthy and ready to play man coverage, then you might be able to hide it and get away with it a little bit.
I told you, Pete, the Broncos are going the wrong way.
Well, I disagree with you because it's not about
what
you're doing.
You disagree?
Because they went 13-3 last year and you got knocked out in the playoffs. It's about what happens in the postseason, Tony.
I understand that, but they're
so,
not.
Okay, go to the first three.
There's everybody's Super Bowl darling, and I don't see it.
I didn't pick them to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, I know you didn't, but
well, here's the list, Bowl, right?
You picked the Bengals.
Wes Welker has an ankle. Champ Bailey has the foot. Derek Wolfe obviously has the neck. Good news that, you know, after being carted off the field in an ambulance, that he was able to fly home
and
with the team.
By the way, he's key, Brian. That one right there. You just mentioned Derek Wolfe, second-year player. Came on late last year. They have to have him.
And is there a prognosis?
I think he's going to be okay.
Okay. Ready to go opening day?
Probably.
Their starting guard, Luis Vasquez, has a knee.
That's the guy they pay big money to. Yeah,
Stuart Bradley missed a couple weeks with the wrist, now they're talking about, and he's running with the starters at middle linebacker. We all know Dan Kampen's out. I mean, they still have Peyton Manning, and they still have Demaryius Thomas. They've got some players.
Decker.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Decker's a really good player. Yeah, I mean, but that's this is a run of players if any of them have lingering injuries.
If they're there in the second half of the season, it's not a problem. The division stinks. You'll admit that, right? Division's bad.
Yep.
The first six games.
Although I think the Chiefs, I mean, we'll go over this in a little bit. You have the Kansas City Chiefs at 6-10. I think you're way off on that.
Well, you're on that Alex Smith bandwagon, are you?
No, I just think they're a talented team. I think they got talent on defense, a good running back, a good offensive line. I think they'll be. I think they're going to be better than 6-10.
Okay. Well, you're entitled to your own
opinion. We'll
talk
about that later.
And then you get, there's six games that he's not going to play. Three of them are one of them's Oakland at home. No offense to Jacksonville, but one of them's Jacksonville.
Right.
So there's two they should get. And then, the Giants on the road, Baltimore at home, a team in transition. So you look around, or on the road, actually, but the team in transition. But you look around, or no, it's in Denver, because remember they didn't have the
stadium.
It's in Denver. So they should come 3-3 out of that six-game stretch. Then he comes back, and then you get ready and go for the second half. It's not about regular season anymore for that team. I was in Houston last week. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Houston won a division title, won a playoff game, and went out 2 years in a row. It's not about now the division. It's not about the regular season. It's about January, and that's what it is for Denver. It's not about now. They have to get there. Will they get there? Don't you think they'll get there?
No, because they're not in a very good division, I think they get there.
Okay.
But you look at last year, they had home field. They had everything going for them. And they couldn't beat a team, I think we both agree, at the time. Now, they started playing better and better. But the Baltimore Ravens were not the best team in the NFL.
But that's my exact point. You get hot at the right time.
I understand that. But, yeah, we'll see. Cold weather, Peyton's arm strength or lack of.
His arm is back. His arm is back where it was. It's close. They'll be fine.
55 NFL 1, 800-355-6351. Tony's on the west side. Hey, Tony, how are you tonight? I'm sorry, Buddy's on the way.
I'm right here. I'm looking in the stadium.
How are y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. I just want to say, I've checked out the show for the first time tonight. And Pete, you know what? I love your commentary. I love your perspective, man. Put Tony in his place, and you say it how it is, man.
What are you talking about?
See?
Buddy, are you kidding?
Buddy's a smart man.
What, you and Pete going out afterwards? I mean,
Buddy's a smart man. He knows his football.
Are you kidding me?
No. I was just saying, because Pete puts what was, realistic.
What,
I mean, no
realistic
offense,
in
Tony,
what,
you
buddy?
Roses and happiness, and well, Pete looks at it realistic.
Well, give me one example, buddy, before you just start running your mouth.
Okay, I agree with him totally about Denver.
totally.
Okay.
What do you? So yes. They're going to win the Super Bowl?
I didn't pick them to win the Super Bowl.
You know what? With Peyton Manning at the helm, dude. Peyton Manning is known for winning games.
Yeah, I know. He's won a lot of Super Bowls. One.
Okay.
In his prime, with one of the best offensives in football history, with great weapons, great running back, great receivers, very good offensive line. How many did he win? Buddy, how many?
Yep.
Okay.
He won one.
Okay.
Cat got your tongue?
He's won one. Oh, man, you don't hate me like that.
I'm just saying, you
I'm
say
gonna,
it's...
I agree with Pete.
Well, you and Pete can
hang
out.
I agree with Pete with what Pete says.
He's a smart man, buddy.
Pete is
you don't even agree with Buddy
man.
About what he's saying.
Well, I think Peyton has lost some games in the playoffs that he should have won. But he also hasn't lost as many games in the playoffs that people think he should have won. I mean, how many times did he go to New England? They were the second best team. They lost that in New England. No, he lost to San Diego.
I'm not going to sit here and argue that Peyton Manning's not one of the best quarterbacks ever to play the game.
Right.
I mean,
so what is your argument? You're making the postseason argument again.
I don't think when it comes down to it, that Denver is going to be representing the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, I didn't pick them to represent them either.
And to your point, for it to be a successful year, that's what they have to do. Anything short of that is not successful.
Who is going to represent the AFC?
If I was picking right now, I like the Bengals a lot. I like the Texans.
You're jumping on my bandwagon.
I like the Bengals, the Texans, and the I'm not going to bet against Tom Brady.
I picked
in
New
January.
England to have the best record, and I picked the Bengals to go to the Super Bowl.
All right. Well, that brings me to another point. Word today out of New England, Rob Gronkowski probably not ready for the start of the season after missing a bunch last year with the back and the forearm. So they've got no Wes Welker, no Gronkowski, no Aaron Hernandez, obviously. Still no problem because you got Tom Brady?
Absolutely.
And they're faster outside,
right,
which is going to help them. And the That rookie, the undrafted rookie.
Sudfeld.
Zach Sudfeld, tight end
from Nevada.
He looks very good. He's a move tight end, athletic, great hands.
And Dobson and Boyce will be good. And yeah. Tompkins is the other receiver. They have.
And they have a good players. Offensive line.
And they're going to be good again. And see, the key with them is Brady stays upright. Chandler Jones develops into a 12-13 sack.
Chandler Jones, they have to be able to get pressure on the quarterback because I don't think they're great in the back half.
No.
I mean, they're good. And Bill Belichick is a very good defensive-minded coach and coordinator. I mean, he's going to have a good game plan. But if they don't get pressure on the quarterback, I think they are vulnerable in the back half.
Watch rookie Collins, kid out of Southern Mississippi that they drafted. Whew. He's going to be good, man. I'm telling you, they're going to be pretty good in that front seven.
Here's another one. A.J. Jenkins from Terry Parker High. First-round pick of the 49ers last year.
Never got on the field.
Traded today to Kansas City for a former first-round wide receiver, Jonathan Baldwin.
Who's super talented, but the word is I've always heard a little bit of a head case.
Knucklehead. And if you are A.J. Jenkins and you can't get on the field in San Francisco where they have no stretch-the-field receiver, something's wrong. And what I hear something wrong is he doesn't put the work. And I know
he's not going to play anywhere.
And I know he's a kid from Jacksonville. He's supposedly a good kid, but you have to put the work in. It's not just going to happen for you. This is the NFL. You can get by in college. You can't get by in the NFL without putting the work in. So,
Vernon Davis said as much today. He's got to work it.
Yeah.
He's got to take a different approach.
Yeah. Well, that means he's got to work. You know, and there were guys here that worked out with him some this summer, and you know, I heard that they worked hard, and he wasn't.
Darrell Revis worked in team drills today in Tampa for the first time. It was no contact, but he was out there working. No contact for him. Greg Schiano was asked, will he play preseason? And Schiano's response was, I don't think he needs to.
I disagree.
I don't know if he needs to, but I can tell you, they think he's just going to pop on the field and be Darrell Revis again.
He's not a running back. At running back, you can do that.
Right.
Running back is a reaction. Just go where you see. I mean, it's more of a natural athletic position.
You know when you're throwing your foot.
Yeah, corner's different. Corner is 100% reacting to movement, being on the defensive, backpedaling, changing direction suddenly, chasing.
Torque.
I disagree with that 100%. I
worry about him.
He has to. I mean, I would if I was the coach or the GM of the whatever team on the Buccaneers he's on, I want to see Darrell Revis out there and getting reps. I disagree with that.
I've talked to enough cornerbacks, veteran cornerbacks, good cornerbacks this offseason that say that they would be concerned about him because of exactly what you said. When you get – and he's a pressed man corner. That's what he's been his whole career. You get your hands on somebody, you're fighting, you're torquing, you're turning, your knees are turning. How's that knee going to react when it's planted and you're turning, and can you run, plant it, and go? There's a lot of variables in there. I think you hit the nail on the head because everybody sees Adrian Peterson, but running back is different. You know, I'm popping through, I'm putting my foot in the ground, I'm cutting, I'm doing this. And
it's downhill, it's straight forward. I mean, it's not backpedaling, turning, twisting, torquing.
And when I went to Minneapolis and sat with Adrian Peterson, watched the tape with him, I watched his first game and his last game. And the first game was against the Jaguars last year. And we watched it. And we sat there. We both sat there. And I said, you're not – and I had watched it already, but I wanted to do it with him. And I sat there with him, and he wasn't putting that foot on the ground. He was hopping through the hole.
No, it takes time.
Yeah.
You have to be confident. Now you're going to ask a corner to do that and man coverage outside. Guess what? If a running back doesn't feel confident, you only get 3 or 4 yards instead of maybe 15. If a corner doesn't feel – you're giving up 6, and you're giving up quick.
I'd be concerned about that.
Detroit releases Mike Thomas.
Talk about a guy who didn't work.
Yeah.
I mean, but bottom line,
Jaguars have their 5th-round pick next year.
He got paid, and then he didn't work. And I go back to a story. I'll tell this story. I used to work out at the Hit Center. And during the lockout, all the players used to come in. And then the lockout ended. Mike Thomas came in the last week before the lockout ended, and he ran a 40, and he kind of rolled to it. He was chubby. He was fat. He was out of shape. He didn't care. And so you don't care, again, that's what's going to happen. He had some talent. He blew it.
Finally, before we take a break, Arian Foster, back issue now?
Issues. I think it's big. Listen, pain down the leg.
They're giving him injections.
That means that there's some disc issue, and you're going to have him as your workhorse? I mean, that's
Ben Tate is there.
I understand that, but it's Arian Foster. They're a different team when he's not in there.
I thought if you look at his numbers, I know he put up big numbers last year, but if I'm not mistaken, his yards per carry numbers went down by about 0.4, which is significant.
Big.
And he's had 300 carries in three straight
wear
years.
Wear and tear on you. And listen, if you have pain down your leg that equates to weakness in the legs, which equates to not being as explosive, that'll be a big deal.
And you know that always goes back to my theory. Draft him or don't draft him. Find him. Run him to death, beat him up, kick him to the curb, and get another one.
Oh, you're so compassionate, Pete.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. It is time for the Copy Facts face-off between Tony and Pete. Find out what they're facing off on when we return to Jaguars Monday from the Hanania Studio inside Everbank Field on Jaguars Radio. All right, time for the Copy Facts face-off here on Jaguars Monday. About this time, every program throughout the season, these two guys will find an issue that they disagree on, which really shouldn't be as hard as it seems, but you'd be surprised, at least in the preseason. Here's it. Tonight, Steelers, Redskins, Monday Night Football, and lots of talk about that division, the AFC North.
Well, I was going through Pete's, Pete, the so-called expert here.
I'm sure
Bill Belichick would think you're not an expert because you don't.
Hold on, real quick, before you do that, Bill Belichick today said Tim Tebow is improving after a 1-7 both agree minus on this. 1 yard. I'm not sure Belichick has the credibility after statement.
Did you see Belichick's little shot yesterday?
Yeah, he said that you can't make any judgments unless you're in the coach's meeting watching the film.
And then Mike Florio, who always takes shots at me, sent it out in quotes. So did you see what I sent back?
Yeah.
He said, I'll teach you a little bit about the game if you want me to, Mike.
I laughed at that one, too.
But, no, the bottom line.
I mean, look, just saying. You go through.
Making picks. We all make picks. We're all wrong, yeah, but we make them.
Well, I'm not
at least
wrong.
You picked Baltimore to win the Super Bowl last year, I guess.
All right, so here's the question, right? With Baltimore and Cincinnati, clearly the defending Super Bowl champion and a Super Bowl favorite for Pete, are the Steelers back this year? Are the Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger back?
No, they're not back. I mean, you look at this division, the Bengals – where I do agree with Pete, I think they're the best team in the division. I think the Ravens are the second best team. Where they got Flacco, they lose Pitta, but they are upgrading on a lot of positions where they so-called stars. Well, the stars did leave. They're better at safety with Ed Reed gone. They're gonna be better. I mean, listen,
Darrell Smith is playing his butt off, by the way.
You know, I know Ray Lewis has left, but Ray Lewis was not the same. He was an inspirational leader, but they got Joe Flacco and Ray Rice. They're gonna be very good. They're not gonna take too big a step back. And I'll say this: the Cleveland Browns might be more talented than the Pittsburgh Steelers in every position except for one, and that's quarterback.
And that's the only one that matters.
I know, but the quarterback.
That's the only one that matters.
My point is, the Pittsburgh Steelers are not the second best team in this division.
The Pittsburgh Steelers were
good. They're an 8-8, 9-7 team.
If Ben Roethlisberger doesn't get hurt last year, the Steelers win a division. They were
the
best
older
team.
Yeah, where's the pass rush going to come from? No James Harrison.
Well, Woodley will bounce back. Harrison didn't get many pass rush last year.
Yeah, but at least you have two guys coming from each side you have to account for.
Timmons is good.
Timmons is not a pass rusher. No. He's an inside backer.
Woodley will be good.
In the back half.
They drafted Jarvis Jones in the first round. He better be good.
On the back half, Palomalu is another year older.
I'm not going to defend Troy Palomalu.
They're not great at the corners.
No. They're okay at the corner, but they've never been great at the corners.
Well, I'm just telling you.
Are they really good at the corners?
They're older.
Their offensive line is going to be better.
Their offensive line
will be better.
I don't know if it's.
It will be better.
They were awful last year.
Well, they didn't have Pouncey for a while. He got hurt. So they will be better.
No Heath Miller.
DeCastro's back.
They have no.
They'll be better.
They have no one to play the tight end that's going to catch the ball.
Ben's back.
Okay, that's fine. He was there last year.
He got hurt. They were going to win the division.
No, they weren't going to win the division.
They were going to win a division.
No.
They went to Baltimore and won a game with Charlie Batch. Remember late in the season when Ben was out? They were going to win the division. Then he got hurt.
They're not the second best team in the division. I could see them missing the playoffs.
I think all three teams will make the playoffs. I'll be honest with you.
Well, I mean, that's because you have Kansas City 6-10, which is idiotic as well. They are a very talented team. They'll lose the opening day, and then they're going to be hot after that.
They're going to lose opening day.
Oh,
you're making that call already.
I call it right now.
Well, you have big faith in Alex Smith.
I think Alex Smith's a good quarterback. He took a team to the NFC title game, which they should have won if they could catch two punts.
Here's the problem.
Alex Smith.
He's serviceable.
If they can catch two punts against the New York Giants, they are in the Super Bowl. The Giants are not.
Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl, and Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. What's your point on that?
My point is Kansas City is very talented on defense.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you know why? Everybody points out, they had five or six Pro Bowlers. Well, because everybody dropped out, and five guys ended up going. That's how that five.
They're not talented on defense.
I'll go through the defense. I think they have some talent on defense. I think.
Well, which way is it? Are they talented? No, or are they not talented? But, I mean, my whole point is your whole prediction is. I mean, listen. You have some good stuff in here, but you have a bunch of junk too.
Give me the junk.
The junk is the Steelers.
The Chiefs. The Steelers aren't going to be a play. Who's going to be
the second best team in the AFC East is the Miami Dolphins. I agree with. They're not going 5-11.
I don't think they're that good. Look at their schedule.
They're not going 5-11.
Schedule's brutal. Who else is good? What other junk in the AFC?
In the AFC?
Who's the extra playoff team in the AFC if the Steelers and the Ravens aren't that team?
The Colts.
I think they're a step back team. I think they.
You only got the Texans win 10 games. I mean, did you do this? Were you sober?
Yeah. It took me about a month to do it, to be honest with you.
You should have taken 2 months.
It's great. It's good stuff. Yeah, you play out the season. Everybody says it's so easy. Go ahead and play out the season. Try it sometime. And without totaling.
I agree with Belichick. You have no right to say anything.
You know what?
You're not an expert.
You know what, Bill? Here's what they should have said to Bill. When Bill said that, all right, Bill, we won't say anything. You tell us who was making the mistake. You tell us, Bill. Since you're standing up there saying that we can't do it, you tell us who made the mistake. We'll be glad to take your answer. We'll put it out. We'll publish it. We'll put it in the paper. If you don't like what we're doing, you tell us the right way. Point out the guy who's making the mistake, Bill. Is that what you want?
Well, now Bill was partly right. You can't.
You can't all the way. But you can tell if a guy stinks or not.
And you can tell a guy who makes a good play.
You just spent hours watching tape.
I know more than you.
Yeah.
I played the game, don't forget.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You go in there. You know what? I never directed a movie, but I sure as heck knows what's pretty darn good on the movie screen, don't I?
I don't know. I disagree with all those Oscars usually. Yeah. I don't like any of those movies that are up for
that. Here's something that's near and dear to your heart. You're not a 5-star chef, but you know it tastes good.
Yeah, I'm Italian. I like food.
Okay. So you can't tell what's good food because you never were a 5-star chef? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that.
Well, that's what Belichick's saying. Sorry, Bill. And again, I go back to it. Stand up there, Bill. If you think the media is, and I used to have this argument with Coughlin all the time. Okay. Remember you used to walk down the hallway. What are you, a doctor? Yeah. Baselli's got an ankle, doesn't he? Well, then what is it, Tom?
You got the Jags at 3-13. Come on. Only 3 wins. With Blaine Gabbert playing the way he did, and if he improves, they're only going to win 3 games?
If he plays 28 touchdowns or 26 touchdowns and 12 interceptions.
My question is, if he plays the way he did.
Hey, but it's a preseason.
I'm just saying, if he plays the way he did, No.
So you're
admitting that this whole thing you've got on CBSSports.com is junk.
No. So, you think how many wins do you think they're going to get?
6 or 7.
If he plays like that, they will get 6 or 7.
So again, so second week in a row, Brian, I want to make sure we recognize this. I won the first week.
Well, you didn't win the Steelers.
The second week, he's admitting that I'm right, that there's a lot of flaws.
By the way, on my trip this week, I talked to some really good defensive ends and some defensive coordinators and some head coaches, and they all agree with me on that read option, by the way. So just to solidify the fact that
I thought you said coaches didn't know what they were talking about. You still said Belichick.
No, they know what they're talking about. No. They just don't tell us.
Okay.
Tell me. If you're going to criticize me for picking apart something, then tell me what the right way and the way it is supposed to be.
And I'll finish it off with this, just to show that this whole list is not very good. The Rams, last in the West, the Rams are better than the Cardinals.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
They're better at quarterback.
They are.
Yes.
They are, because there's major questions about that kid, and I like him, but there's major questions. I just got that. I was there for 3 days.
They're better at the quarterback, and they're much better on defense.
Well, I don't know if much better.
Yes.
They're good on defense. I'm actually this week writing about the front four, or as they like to call themselves now, not the fearsome foursome, the Elite Eight, because they have 8 players. And they're very good.
That's very arrogant.
They're very arrogant. I told Jeff Fisher that. You know what Jeff Fisher said? Oh, they got a nickname for themselves already, do they? I go, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're good. Hey, Tony, I'm not going to argue with you on their defense. I think they can be – Laurinaitis is good. I think the kid from Georgia, Ogletree, is going to be a good linebacker. Jenkins and Cortland Finnegan are very good. I worry about the back end. The safeties aren't very good.
Yeah, but who's going to run the ball for the Cardinals?
Mendenhall. I'm surprised at how good he's looked so far in my mind. I didn't think he had that in him. Plus, they drafted the kid from Stanford, Taylor, and drafted Ellington. They have runners. And their whole thing is the offensive line. They got Winston.
Which is awful.
Not really. They got Winston. He'll be okay at right tackle. They drafted Cooper.
Winston Justice, right?
No, Eric Winston.
Oh, Eric Winston. I'm sorry.
So they got Eric Winston. Yeah. They got Jonathan Cooper, who they drafted in the first round. They're going to be better.
All right,
I got to stop it.
Winford number 2.
Win 2-0 I am.
Thank you.
Easiest segment in radio everyone, I do every week.
Everyone but Buddy thinks I'm 2-0.
Buddy thinks you're getting beat down every week.
That's the CopyFax Face-Off at 7:20 every week on Jaguars Monday. News is next on News Talk WOKV. And then one more half hour of Jaguars Radio.
The Thumb's doing great. Just all preventative stuff and The biggest thing right now is just get the swelling down and get healthy, get my grip strength back. And I mean, it's not like I'm in a wheelchair or anything, so I can still do pretty much three quarters of practice, just not the team period. So I can go through all the footwork, do some handoffs and whatnot, but I get a lot of mental reps during those team periods. But conditioning-wise, I'll be good to go.
All right, that's Blaine Gabbert earlier today in the Jaguars locker room after being named the Jaguars starting quarterback by head coach Gus Bradley. Folks in Jacksonville, you know, folks who follow, we'll see Ryan O'Halloran, who wrote the story on his blog, about a hand specialist who suggests, not having seen him, that it might be difficult for him, maybe aggressive for him to come back. It's hard to know. Gus Bradley did say that there was no space between where the bones were broken. So we'll find out.
Unless you see and treat him, you have no idea. Right. I mean, it's just guessing. But here's the question. Did anybody ask him if it was a regular season game this week, if he could play?
I don't think so.
See, that's the question. If this were a regular season
game. Yeah, but here's the problem with that question, Pete.
Why?
Because if he says yes, I mean, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, all the time guys say, well, if it was regular season, I would have played.
Yeah, but I mean, he at least let him answer it.
All right. I just don't think you'd get an answer to that.
That's why I'm a journalist. And
I don't think you get an honest answer.
You're becoming one.
If
asking dumb questions is becoming a journalist, I'll pass.
I've been that way for a long time, according to you.
You're really good at it.
You put the Prisco zone up once
on
there.
You're very good.
He's wearing a hard splint to immobilize it, but you heard him say right there he's going to be on the practice field to soak in the mental reps. What does that mean? I mean, is that really that important?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mental reps are huge. I mean, especially that position.
The footwork, the handoffs, I get that.
It's very important. Okay. Seeing things and going through your progressions and mentally practicing, I think it's huge.
So that's a bad question?
Mine?
No, mine. Ask him if he could play.
No, it's a good question. I wish I had asked it, but I left to go get Maurice.
Right.
I was just trying to protect Brian because he didn't
ask. No. I'm not,
I mean, if you want to kill him, go ahead.
I'm not killing him. He left. He wasn't there the whole time. So
you're saying he wasn't doing his job because he left early.
He was going to do another interview.
Oh, okay, I'm just making sure.
But I thought somebody might have asked him if he could play.
Somebody may have, although I haven't seen it anywhere.
Maybe you should show up.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you should show up and ask those questions.
It's like when I used to ask about riffs with the quarterback and the coach back in the day. Remember those?
I had to create the non-Prisco zone.
You did?
Yeah.
You taped it up.
He wasn't allowed. Taped him out.
It was for a day. It was for a day, and then you all missed me, so you took it down. The offensive lineman loved me. Leon.
All right, so on to our NFL conversation. Over the weekend, it has sparked a huge debate, high hit versus low hit. But DJ Swearinger, the Texans, took away Dustin Keller's season with a low hit. MCL, ACL, PCL.
And before Pete says what he tweeted, I actually said this last year on a national broadcast with Westwood One. Reggie Nelson went low on Heath Miller, blew his ACL out, and Reggie Nelson got all kinds of grief. And I said on the air, where is he supposed to hit him? You can't hit high. You can't even if you aim for the shoulders – And the receiver ducks his head, it's a penalty on the defensive player, even if he has the right aiming point. So what the rules, the way they are being enforced, are forcing and encouraging players to go low so they don't get so the league doesn't come dip into their pocketbooks. And when you go low, you're going to lose knees.
See, and I sent out this tweet saying, you ask any NFL player rather than what they'd rather have, a head hit? Or a knee hit, they'll take the head hit. And I'm not saying, I'm talking about a knee hit that takes your ACL out. You'd rather have a concussion than an ACL injury. And people got all over, you know, up in arms. Oh, my gosh, what about 55 when they're 55 and 60 and they're, you know, they got to get help to walk to the bathroom and everything else. And it's just, that's gone overboard a bit. And you've played the game. And other than some bad football views here, you seem sharp as a tack to me.
I'll say it this way, and this is not going to be popular with my fellow players in the union probably, because there's this big concussion lawsuit, which I'm not part of and won't be part of it. I don't see a bunch of people that I know played the game and know playing the game, college or pro, that are walking around with early dimension. I don't see this large populace of ex-football players that have major issues with their head and that affects their daily life. I know there are some cases, and I've said
John Mackey.
and I've said, listen, the league and players association, we need to do everything to support those people and help those people.
I agree.
100%. But I don't see this huge group of people walk around. I see a lot of people limping. Knee replacements, hip replacements, shoulder.
You yourself have had.
Shoulder replacements. See a lot of that. And I understand what the commissioner's doing. I think this is my own opinion, not of the Jaguars or anyone else, that I think sometimes that is driven because of perception and what the media has done of focusing on some tragic stories, and they are tragic, and immediately jumping to conclusions it's because of concussions.
And here's the other thing about that, okay? And I defend the NFL on this. Who forces anybody to play the game? A, nobody. Nobody forces you to play the game. You choose to play the game. Two, how do they know the concussion problems don't stem from Pop Warner, from the high school field, from the college field? They're automatically just blaming the NFL. That could be something that happened years ago in high school. You got hit a couple times. You know, back then, when I'm dating myself, you probably don't remember this, but they used to stick smelling salts in your nose. Remember? You got get over there. You're back in. Now concussion protocol. Everybody sits out. The right thing. So, look. The bottom line is, knees cost you money. A headshot, not always, because Jonathan Best is one. It cost him a career, so it can cost you a career. But usually, it's not going to cost you.
Didn't
a career.
Keller sign a 1-year deal?
Yes,
like $4.5 million, and he's got a major knee reconstruction now.
Done. I mean, that's basically he might be done. Now everybody says, "Well, Adrian Peterson came back, and Jamal Charles came back, so everybody can come back." Well, we'll see, because Revis is the high profile test of it. And now we'll see if Dustin Keller
comes. Listen, my fear, and we've talked about this, is the way the football is going. Listen, I'm all for protecting players. And I'm all for taking away the vicious headshots that are blatant and dangerous, not just for concussions, but spinal injuries, and teaching the game to be played the proper way with proper technique. I don't like how they're legislating the rules. I think it is impossible. I think it is unfair to ask the officials to make calls and throw penalties on over the middle of the field hits and immediately being told to err on the side of throwing the penalty to protect the player. You can't do it. I've seen too many times in games I've covered and watching film where a defensive player aims perfectly, fair, clean hit, and the receiver, out of protecting himself, lowers his head. And immediately it is a penalty on the defense. That is wrong. That is something that should be viewed afterwards, an intent, and the entire play should be taken into account. And if the defensive player is viciously using his helmet as a weapon, fine him after the fact. But changing the legislating that way is forcing players to go low. And you're going to see more and more knee injuries.
It's the law of unintended consequences. You swing the pendulum so far to one side that it's got to come back to the other all the way.
Did you ever have a concussion?
Yes.
Here?
Yes.
Did you play?
I went back in after the half.
Right. But did you know you had a concussion?
Yeah.
Why they let you go back in?
Because I passed the test and could say my name or whatever the protocol was back then, and they viewed me, and it was I wanted to go back in.
Right. Well, of course, every player wants to go back in, so it's kind
and the
of
doctor and the doctors followed the protocol that was in place. They did exactly their job.
Okay, so what bothers you worse now, your head or your hips that have been replaced or your
my
shoulders?
Knee, my
your
shoulders
knees?
By far. And I had concussions. I'm sure I had, you know, in today's how they view concussions, I'm sure I had hundreds of them in college and high school. And I know I remember having two in high school, and I can't remember if I had any in college or not. And I know I had one here that was
how the one you had here. How'd you get that?
It was against the Baltimore Ravens. It was an interception or a fumble.
Oh, okay.
And I was chasing down the play and dove in head first like an idiot and got saw star. I mean, I wasn't out, but I was laid there for a second and got help.
Is it hard for an offensive lineman to get a concussion?
I think it's harder, probably. Remember, but, I mean, there was many a times pulling and hit going up on linebackers where you see stars.
Remember when Dielman got it and he was for the Chargers and he was spinning all out there? And
so, I mean, listen, I'm not saying we don't need to protect players, but I think it's gone too far. It is actually, I think it's making it more dangerous for other body parts, and your livelihood is your knees.
See, that's the bottom line right there. That's it. You just hit.
If you can't move, you can't play.
Right, and that's why. And again, you ask any NFL player who's currently playing, not a retired player, because he'll say, oh, well, headshots. But if you ask any current NFL player if he's smart, he's going to say, I'd rather have my knees.
Well, and I'll say, I'll even take it further. I'll also say this. Go ask any past player who played the game. And I would say 95, I don't want to say 100%, but I'm sure there's some that wouldn't. That given the opportunity, knowing the risks and all the scary stuff they put out about concussions now, which they're still doing studying. The science is not exact. I mean, they're still researching it. But let's say the scariest things that are out there that are being said. And you go ask them, would you play again?
I asked them.
Would you do it again?
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
But I did it last summer. I went through and I asked probably 75 players. And I think, and the other part of the question was, would you allow your children to play football, your son to play football? I think I encountered one guy that said he wouldn't play again. One. Just one.
High-paying guy?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, minimum wage rookie.
And he wouldn't, allow his, and I think he actually went on the record, so I can say his name, but he wouldn't allow his son to play. And it was, I think it was Dallas Clark.
Well, I let my kids play. Both play, yeah. Kids play.
I think I there's played. So much good that comes out of the game from a life lesson standpoint.
Guess what? There's risk in everything you do.
Yes.
I let my kids ride their bike as well. And if you look at the
Everybody's dangerous.
If you look at the studies, I think more concussions should come from bike riding than
skateboards.
What about the life lessons you learn?
I let them
from
swim in the
football.
Ocean. There's sharks out there.
Absolutely. Right? I have three boys. They all play.
Right. And the life lessons you learn from playing football more so than any sport out there.
Absolutely. Oh, it's the greatest sport ever. And my fear is that the way it is moving, that because of the perception, and I think they're forcing the commissioner's hand and forcing the league's hand with all these lawsuits and everything, I worry about what's the end game.
Is the game, because I think the game, and I was, you know, you don't get to go on the field much anymore because of 9/11, but I was on the field the other day. The game has become faster, bigger, stronger, and more violent than even when you played, I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
And so my theory is maybe at some point they might widen the field.
Give more space?
Yeah. But then the other theory will be, well, if you widen the field, you then you're going to make more room to hit.
Right.
Too. So
they build up speed.
How about take the face mask off?
Well, that was what Vic always said.
Listen, it's a dangerous game.
Vic that wrote, was he was a writer back when.
Are we going to legislate everything out of this world that's dangerous?
You can't.
Is that what we're going to do?
You can't. And the point that you made, if I can offer it, is that the game is the most popular game in the world. It isn't even close in terms of television ratings for the Super Bowl, but it doesn't have to be that way. And if you take away the risk, you take away the allure. You take away the reason why people watch. Yes, they watch to see touchdowns, but they know there's big hits. They love that part of the game. The most highly paid people in our society are the people who take the biggest risks.
And I'll just
and
say
football
this.
Players are part of that.
And I'll finish with this. I know we got to go to break. I'd say this to anyone who plays the game or is thinking about to play the game. If you don't want to take the risk, go do something else.
Right. Your choice. We need a break. We will come back with one more segment of Jaguars Monday, live from the Hanania Studio inside Everbank Field here on Jaguars Radio. All right, we are rapidly running out of time here on a Monday. The Hanania Studio, a lively place. Remember, you could join us, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. First hour, Jaguars-centric. Second hour, and of course, once we get into the regular season, we'll become more league-focused.
Can they still join us? Aren't we a little past the joining us period?
No. I mean, yeah, no, they can get in.
Okay.
If they got a great thought. Most people are sitting back and listening to you two fight and enjoying it. So, which
Joe might hang up on it.
It's the design. So you were in Houston last week, and I read the Q&A that you did with J.J. Watt, who I love to watch. What a terrific player. But it seems like he's a terrific person, too.
I've sat with a lot of players over the years and talked with them, and a lot of them I respect highly, and you know he was one of them when I covered him. But J.J. gets it as much as anybody I've ever been around. I mean, you talk about just understanding what he's going to do for the next 10 years. Play great football, then go become a high school coach, make as much money as he can, don't get in trouble, doesn't go out. And he told me he doesn't go out because he doesn't want to be Gronk. He doesn't want people with cell phones taking pictures of him. And he doesn't drink or, you know, may have a couple beers or something, but he doesn't want that out there anyway.
He's smart.
Yeah. And so he's built this house in Houston with this huge pool and a huge, he had this guy come in and make a barbecue pit, and he has his buddies over, and all of a sudden people started showing up at his house in the front, and they're waiting for autographs and doing this and that. And I said, well, you got to move to a gated community. He said, I'm from Wisconsin. I don't really believe it.
They don't have gated communities in Wisconsin?
Yeah. Not really.
And so he's just so down to earth. And then he said, you know, which I thought was interesting. I asked him about PEDs because that's out there about him. And he said,
which is sad because now if you're a good player and you're physically gifted, I mean, and Adrian Peterson had the same
people
say about him as
well. I started that one too. I'm the PED guy. I ask.
Which is a shame.
No. Why? You got to ask. It's out
there. I'm not saying I'm fine with you asking the question.
Right.
That actually is a good question amongst many of your bad ones. That's a good question. You just hate that that's the world we live in.
Well, because Adrian Peterson came back from a devastating knee injury to rush, you know, for over 2,000 yards less than a year later. I mean, that's going to open you up to that.
Oh, I agree. No, I'm not
and
saying.
J.J. Watt was 240 pounds and a tight end that wasn't recruited highly, and now he's the best defensive lineman in the league. So those questions, and he's 290 pounds.
No, but I agree with you. I'm just saying it's too bad that those
right.
are.
Right. But he answered it, and he said, hey, look, I hope they have all kinds of testing. I'd have it every day. I don't care. He didn't care. So that, to me, tells you what he thinks of it. He'd be more than willing to get tested. But see, I'm a believer. If you get HGA testing, then they're going to find something else.
No, the cheaters are always ahead of
angles.
They're always ahead.
Life's angles. You'll find an angle. But he is a special kid. And he's a special football player. You know,
he's a Grammy. Listen, he is
I asked
unreal.
Him how
I mean,
times
he's
he was,
so good.
I asked him how many times he was single block last year. He said 20% of the time.
I might disagree with that a little
and
bit.
He said if
I
he,
watch a lot of games.
And he said if he doesn't win when he's single block, he's mad. I said,
which is a good attitude.
I said, how about doubles? Lot. I said, triple? Green Bay tripled them.
A couple times they did.
Tripled them. And he still had 2 sacks in that game.
Because they
got destroyed in that game.
But it was the only way that Rodgers was going to get.
Yeah, but I was
going to
say this. Those, if you go back, listen, I'm not taking anything away from J.J. Watt. Those were cheapy sacks.
Did you did that game?
No, I watched it on Monday night, though.
Sunday night.
Sunday night game. Yeah. I didn't do it. I watched it.
Yeah.
Great game.
You did the Houston-Baltimore game, which you still owe me for.
Yep, I did. I owe you dinner.
He does.
How good is that defense going to be? Is Whitney Mercilus going to come through this year? Is he ready to step up over
I
the other
still
side?
I worry about those pass rushers. You know, Brooks Reed, Mercilus. You have J.J. Watt, and he's getting doubled. You better win, because Antonio Smith's pretty good, too.
Yeah, they're going to get a pass rush because J.J.'s going to take all the attention. They're going to get one-on-one the whole
and
game.
And I think having Cushing back is big for them. I think it's really big for them.
He is a really good player as well.
But, you know, and the corners are good. Joseph's healthy. Kareem Jackson played well last year. Ed Reed. No good.
Joseph wasn't healthy last year either.
No, he's hurt. I talked to him. He's healthy again. They're going to be good at corner. And
but you only have them win 10 games.
They have a tough schedule. You looked at their schedule?
Yeah.
Schedule's tough.
You just made them sound like the greatest defense ever.
No, I don't. I'm not a Schaub guy. Everybody else is a Schaub guy. I'm not a Schaub guy. I think Schaub's just okay.
He's going to be a lot better with another deep threat on the other side of Andre Johnson, at least.
I don't know if that kid's a deep threat, though. He's not a burner. He's good, but he's not a burner. He's good, though. I'll give you that. He's going to be a good player. But the right side of the line should be better this year. Newton's healthy. And Brandon Brooks should be pretty good at right guard. They'll be better on the offensive line. Schaub, to me, don't you worry
their
about
biggest issues,
their biggest issue is Schaub.
No, it's Foster, whether he's healthy or not.
Yeah, biggest issue is Schaub. It's quarterback league.
What about the tight end?
It's okay. They have a million.
He beats this team regularly.
By the way, they have 3 other guys that went to Wisconsin at tight end. It's like they just have a factory there. It's like 3 other guys. 2 other guys. 3 of them.
Where are you going to be this week?
I'm here Saturday night.
Fantastic. Home. Good.
Then Los Angeles next week. I'll be in L.A. when I'm on the show.
All right.
Oh, Tony. Good. I won't be able to yell at you right to your face.
No, you can yell at me.
Disappointed.
You yell me through the phone.
Disappointed.
You'll right, be wrong.
Folks. Thanks for joining us for Jaguars Monday. We'll talk to you Thursday evening with the Gus Bradley Show at 6, followed by Jaguars Thursday at 7. Have a great night and a good week. Talk to you later.